Welcome to Minute Impossible. Happy Friday, everybody. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Chris.
Oh, I'm Heather.
Heather?
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, I had someone talking to me.
Welcome, Heather. This minute begins with credit for Henry
Cerny.
Say that last name?
Cerny.
Henry Cerny. And ends with a traitor who's stolen one half of a something. We don't know. Says, so here we go. We're about to meet Jim Phelps.
Mr. Phelps.
We're still on the plane. I don't remember from the TV show, were the catchphrases and like spy phrases, code phrases, were the code phrases this obvious and crazy?
Oh, yeah.
On the TV show?
Yeah, definitely. Good morning, Mr. Phelps was a big one. And then your mission, should you choose to accept it, was another one.
No, I mean the ones of would you like to watch a movie? I prefer the theater.
Oh, yeah, that was in the TV show as well.
And he says that I prefer the theater. And at that point, she looks like she's interested now and said, would you consider the cinema of the Ukraine? And then he says, perhaps you'll choose one for me. So classic spy code phrase and whatever it's called when you say a phrase back to someone. What's that called? Call sign? Sign call sign? No.
Passphrase. The passphrase. Yeah.
My question is, she's an agent of some kind for something, but she may not know who this person is other than his name. Mm-hmm. If he'd not said that he preferred the theater, would she have just let him pick any other movie?
Yeah,
hopefully,
probably.
Yeah. Apparently, my high school AP English and theater teacher once was in somewhere in the USSR many, many years ago and accidentally said a set of passphrases to somebody. And they thought she was a spy for a little while until they figured that out.
Wow.
She used to tell us the most amazing stories.
It's crazy.
You're never supposed to talk about the Ukraine. That's all I know.
What happens in the Ukraine stays in the Ukraine.
Yes. So we have a credit for Jean Reno.
Jean Reno. Yep.
Oh, I'm not saying that correct?
No, you're not.
Jean Reno.
Yeah.
It's Jean Reno.
Jean Reno.
And then we see Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames. Yep.
And then we see Kristin Scott Thomas.
Yep.
And Vanessa Redgrave.
Almost all of them were coming off of something big at that point. You know, Jean Reno, Ving Rhames, and Kristin Scott Thomas were all in fairly big movies right around a year or two before this film. So, you know, that's exactly why they're probably in this movie.
Do you think they were asked to be in this movie to help their star rise? Or do you think they contractually had gotten into this movie before they became bigger?
I think they were brought on as soon as their movies were big and they were being talked about as being the next sort of people or somebody, you know, interesting that was, you know, had become a name because of the movie prior to this one. So for Jean Reno, it was the Professional. And for Ving Rhames, it was Pulp Fiction. And Kristin Scott Thomas, it was Four Weddings and a Funeral. So I think that's how they all ended up getting cast. You know, they were wanting an international cast and a diverse cast that probably wouldn't take too much attention away from Tom Cruise.
A diverse cast of white people.
Well, a French white person, a black person, and a British female. Yes, exactly.
And Vanessa Redgrave.
And Vanessa Redgrave, who's like, was the Judy Dench of her time.
Yeah, she definitely was. 27 seconds in, we get credit for the music of Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman.
So we've got Danny Elfman with a Mission Impossible theme composed by Lalo Schifrin.
Exactly. Now, Danny Elfman actually got this film sort of late in the game because the original composer, Alan Silvestri, it composed about 23 minutes of the music and it just wasn't gelling between him and De Palma. And, so they brought Danny Elfman in.
Have you ever heard the music that, Alan?
I actually have heard some of the original music, but I know that, a lot of it was repurposed for a year later for Eraser when he went on to score that music for Eraser. Yeah. So it's very, very different from what Danny Elfman was doing. So
I also heard actually that his music, not only was there an issue with the director, but that his music tested poorly with test audiences.
No, oh, I believe that.
At this point, Jim Phelps places, looks like a, oh, what is that, a high eight?
Yeah, it's a high eight tape. Yeah, definitely. It could be a VHS-C.
Ooh, let's have some tech talk.
Yeah, it could be a VHS-C.
VHS-C.
Yeah, compact VHS, basically.
It's really thin. So it's one of those two.
Yeah.
He puts it into this side little player in his chair. He picks up a non-remote remote. The remote has a cord sticking out of it. And next to that's a pack of cigarettes and a lighter. He puts his headphones on. And the second he puts his headphones on, at 38 seconds, we see visual effects supervisor John Knoll. And special makeup effects by Rob Bottin.
Bottin.
Oh, these movies, it's killing me. And then for all you Star Wars fans, he pulls up his trench run targeting computer.
That is a really great description. Stay on target.
And he is staying on target as the movie begins with that classic line, "Good morning, Mr. Phelps."
Now, he's watching a video in the plane very openly like this. Would spies really do that, or should it be like more? Now it would be a little iPhone, you know, but then it's like everybody in the plane must be a spy.
These are the same spies that allowed a flight attendant to know the actual real name of an IMF agent. She calls him Mr. Phelps.
How do we know that's his real name? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God.
We saw that at the beginning.
We never saw his card.
We never saw his card. No, we never did. We saw Claire's, and she's married to a Jim Phelps, but how do we know that his real name is Jim Phelps?
Ironically, his real name is Tony Beretta.
Tony Beretta.
He says, "Good morning, Mr. Phelps." And then we learn that the guy on the screen is named Gallitzin, and he's an attaché in our embassy in Prague, and he is also a traitor. And he's stolen one half of something. We don't really know what it is because the minute cuts off there. So right now, in classic Mission Impossible style, Jim Phelps is getting his mission. I don't know where he's coming from. I would have thought he was on the mission with Tom Cruise and that crew. But I guess I was just inferring that he would already be part of whatever team is going to be in this movie. I guess that's my own.
His employers are very generous to put him in such a nice first class cabin.
Yes, they are.
It was a different economic time. The internet was booming. Netscape was on every MacBook everywhere.
With its 500 megabytes of RAM and hard drive space.
Oh, so much hard drive space. They didn't even know what to do with it.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure we're on dial-up at that point, too.
Exactly.
Oh, definitely on dial-up. So what I love is in the previously we saw it in Minute 2 when he's actually using that file search, Emilio Estevez. I love that hopefully he had to dial up first.
It was probably the CIA
Nobody
server.
Nobody could call in.
And it blew their cover. Yes, I will drink your Russian vodka. Wait, what? Do you hear that? It's loud, high-pitched sounds. I'd like to apologize now to everyone for my really terrible impersonation.
Were you doing Rocky and Bullwinkle's Boris and Natasha there? Moose and Squirrel.
We've now got the beginning of his mission. We have at least five characters that are going to be in this movie. And we're only 5 minutes into this. We've already had a pretty intense title sequence and also a cold opening. So right now, a lot of things we inferred may not be coming true because he is seems to be married to Claire. I'm a little confused because of the way that Tom Cruise was touching Jim Phelps' wife. So hopefully in the next few minutes, they'll explain that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're going to see Jim Phelps actually give her the mouth thumb too.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's how they say hello.
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
It's like Face Off. Yeah. Like that Face Off when they do the hand.
She is European.
It's a spy greeting.
Yeah, it's a spy greeting. Exactly.
Yeah. If someone walks up to you and they stick their thumb in your mouth, then you know they're a spy.
Exactly. They don't have fast phrases there. They have mouth thumbs. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, if that's it, we'll wrap this week up with Minute 5. And we'll see you guys next week to continue with Minute 6. You can catch us on the web at Men Impossible on Twitter and Minute Impossible on our Instagram account. And feel free if you have any questions or want to let us know anything, contact us at MinuteImpossible@gmail.com. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Dawn.
I'm still Chris.
And I'm also Heather.
This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.